as I read a part of it. And remember just one thing, namely that every one of us is at some point and at some moment, and very possibly right now, a hypocrite. Lord, you searched me and you knew me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts. You search my path, my lying down. You know my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, you know it. You set me behind and before. You lay hold of me with your hand. Such wonderful is too. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I can't get it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you are there. For you made me in the inmost parts. You knit me together when I was in my mother's womb. That's too much for me. My frame was not hidden from you when I was way down deep in secret, being intricately wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes behold my unformed substance. How precious to me are your thoughts. How vast is the sum of them. Then he suddenly switches and said, oh, that God, you would slay the wicked, that men of blood would depart from me. Don't I hate them? I hate them that hate thee, and do not I loathe them that rise up against thee? I hate them with a hatred, God. I count them all my enemies. Search me, God. Know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. Yesterday, somebody made a statement, which was one of the most profound and yet simple statements that I think anybody can make. I'm sure every one of you have made it any number of times. And if this psalm tells us anything, it tells us that we'd better be honest, that we'd better not be hypocrites, whether it's here or anywhere else in the Christian church, about what we say or feel or think. And that statement was this: you know, I don't really know what's going on inside of me. I don't really know what's going on inside of me. And that's very true often, isn't it? So very true. You want something. You want something or you want someone. And you say, no, I have no right to have that thing or that person. I don't even know whether I should feel this way. But I do. And the first step is to say that you do feel that way. To be honest enough. You want to love someone. You know that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be loving people. I'm supposed to be loving you and you and you. I'm supposed to reach out and feel something about you. And I maybe at one moment start to really feel something about you. And just at that moment I start to feel scared because I'm getting close to you and that's awkward. And I can get very, very hurt. Very hurt when suddenly I get close to someone and then shoop, they turn off and I'm left like the end of a rag and I feel lonely with all these people around right here. I feel lonely and rejected and yuck, and I say yuck to you, and yuck to the rest of the people, and yuck to Holland Village, and yuck to God. And then I say, no, I'm not supposed to feel that way. And so I go to church on Sunday, and suddenly it's celebration, and the world is sparkling again, and everybody is alive, and I begin to start to feel alive again, and I celebrate, and someone says, you know, it seems as though Jesus Christ walked in today. And maybe he did. Yes, he did. And you feel like, I'm going to change. I'm going to resolve. Tomorrow I'm going to once again look at that person I turned off, who turned me off, and say, look, let's iron it out. Let's grab each other by the shoulder, look each other in the eye, and say, good morning. I want to be honest with you. I want to forgive you. I want to reach out again. And we make the resolve, and we try it once again. We try, and then Monday morning, we fall flat. We go yuck again. How was it Tuesday? How was it Wednesday morning that you woke up and you said, to blazes with everything, but I guess I'd better go to breakfast. And then somebody across the breakfast table is just staring at his egg and doesn't feel any better than you. And somebody says, good morning. And you say, good morning. And someone says, what's your name? And you say, oh, I'm Norm Harwell, Dave Brown or somebody. You're not quite sure who you are yet this morning. And the pain of it goes on. And you sit with a group of people and you're trying to find, where is this love? Where is this forgiveness? Where is this whole business about being Christ? Is that other guy Christ to me? He looks like a frog on the log over there. And the egg doesn't help. How is he going to be Christ to me as I sit across the table this morning? Something's not happening. Nothing's happening. The world is tingling with agony right about now. And you listen to the congregation and the conversation and you say, let's start something. And you say, you know, I did this. And the conversation builds during the day, and by 10 o'clock at night, when it's really swinging and everybody's talking and talking, and you suddenly stop and listen to the congregation and the conversation, and it's going, you know, when I was down in Alabama, you know, when I was at this college and I did this and I did that, and you listen to the congregation going, and the eyes start to spiral up, and you look at a few people around the corner, and nobody says, well, how do you feel? No one asks a question anymore. You're just waiting for your turn to build your ego just a little bit, and love has been displaced by selfishness, and everybody stumbles out of the house or the room or the chalet or whatever it is, and down the steps, and you say, everybody seemed to be a hypocrite, really. They were just giving me what they wanted me to think about them, not what they really were. And then you stop and say, well, I did the same thing. I was caught up in it. I don't really know what's going on inside of me. And I begin to sink again. And so it goes up and down, around and round, bouncing from one corner of pain to another peak of joy, and you're not sure what's going on. And then you have to say, all right, what do I do? What do I do to bring all of this into focus somehow? To throw it right in the face of God. Like the psalmist says, test my thoughts. Get at me. Make me say it, God. The leap of faith is one thing, to believe in Jesus Christ. You all believe him here. You all know that he is your Lord. You all know that he has died and he has suffered, and you've learnt that wonderful truth, and you've learnt to gasp once in a while. You've learnt it, but there's one more thing, that somehow in order to live with that thing, in order that you can be Christ to someone, there's got to be another leap. And that's the leap of speech. We all stammer and stutter and bumble when we try to say very much about Christ. But maybe we should start by saying what we feel about ourselves. My pain, test my thoughts, says the psalmist. Help me to get it out to someone. Because that's what the church is all about. If it's not that, then we'll give up the church. The body of Christ is that you are a person whom I can talk to. You are Christ that I can talk to. And you understand it just as he does. You know the bumbling and the pain and the hypocrisy that goes on in your heart, and I know that it's in mine. And I know that the only way we're going to ever start to iron out each other's pains and lift each other from the corners of the room back into the center of life, from the loneliness to the feeling Christ spoke today, and of not going through a day without saying something, is when we begin to see Christ in the other person. And if anything has meant anything to me, and here I am not being a hypocrite, I might have said lots of fine words during the 3.5 weeks that I've been standing up here, raising this hand and fluttering these fingers. But there's one word, and it's a big word, it's the word incarnation. That God became man in Christ, and Christ becomes man in each one of you. And when I talk to you, and when you talk to me, it's man to man, Christ to Christ, word to word. And unless we begin that business of opening and being honest and saying it, we're going to go through life gradually falling further and further into the corner. And it's very cold in the corner. And the church used to be just that thing that opens the window and lets in the air. The air of forgiveness, the air of hope, and the air of companionship. Test my thoughts, Lord, and help me to spit it out for Christ's sake.
As a little thank you to Herman Hobble for these weeks with us. This will be his last Bible study. He's going to have a chance for some overnight hikes after tonight's big spectacular. I wonder if we couldn't just rise and sing a first stand. How about Praise the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation? It sort of fits in with what he's been saying these weeks with us.